We're now going to hear the familiar Christmas story. Libby's going to come up and bring us the story. It's starting in Matthew 1 and a couple of verses from there in 18 to 21, and then following through to Luke 2, 1 to 7. She'll just keep reading it, so settle back and listen to the story of Jesus' birth. I'll hold it for you.
The birth of Jesus Christ. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
Thank you, Libby. We're now going to see a video of the Christmas story as recalled by a group of young children. So let's see how they capture this story.
The angel Gabriel came to Mary.
"What is this light doing in my house?" And then an angel showed up and was like, what do you want with me?"
"Don't be afraid, Mary, you're gonna have a baby." And then he said, "You will give birth to..."
The angel Gabriel came to Mary.
"What is this light doing in my house?" And then an angel showed up and was like, what do you want with me?"
"Don't be afraid, Mary, you're gonna have a baby." And then he said, "You will give birth to baby Jesus." Okay, I'm very excited about this. I'm very happy too.
And then it just went away. And then the angel showed up to Joseph.
"Mary's not lying, you're gonna have a baby.
You should get married to Mary, take care of her and keep her safe from anything."
And Joseph took his wife, Mary, to Bethlehem, and she was pregnant.
Mary was riding on a donkey.
Or a camel, or a tiny horse with a cart.
Aw, he's so cute. Are we there yet? Oh, wow, this is a really bumpy ride.
They got there and there were no rooms for them.
"I'm sorry, things are really busy. Can you check in back later?"
"Can't you see the sign? No rooms."
"We have no rooms. I think there's a conference or a census or something."
They kept going to every inn, and we're just like, "Can we have a place to sleep because she's having a baby?" And then everyone was saying no, but one inn's just like,
"I'm sorry, all our rooms were full, but I do have a stable that you could use. It's the best I can offer." She gave birth to him in a stable, and she put him in swaddling clothes and put him in a manger.
"Gerald, I'm a black sheep and a white sheep. Cows, chicken, horses, rabbits, a zebra, and a hippo.
A lion.
The stable was really stinky.
The stable was really stinky.
And then angels appeared to shepherds out in some fields nearby.
A shepherd was freaked out because he never saw angels or anything.
And they said, "Don't be afraid. I have good tidings of great joy. That will be for all the people."
There's a baby in a, what was it called? In swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
And then a whole bunch of angels came and sang the song,
"Gloria in excelsis Deo."
So the first shepherd probably said, like, this, like, angel, like, what he's saying is, like, really cool. Like, maybe we should, like, go and see the manger. And then the second shepherd was just, like, oh, yeah, like, agreeing with him. And then the third shepherd was, like, so excited. He already ran off to go.
And they went through some bushes and mud. They probably saw some cactuses.
Camped out for a night or two.
And then
a star appeared and the wise man said,
"Wow, that's a really, really big star."
"Yeah, that's really bright. Let's go follow it."
We should bring gifts.
The wise man followed the star to his stable and brought gifts for the baby.
Gold, frankincense, and fur.
I'll give him some money maybe. And I'll give him some hugs.
I'd give him definitely a lot of hugs.
I'll give him a horse.
I would give him a doll set.
I would give him a toy set.
A rattle.
Diapers for the baby.
My tongue is toy.
The wise men bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they bowed down and they worshipped him.
"Your baby's so beautiful."
"That's baby Jesus. That's Jesus."
"Yeah, I'm so glad I could be here."
"Oh, I think you're cute."
"I love you, baby Jesus."
"I love you. You're the best."
"You're the best baby in the whole world."
"You're so beautiful and nice, and I know you're gonna grow to be someone really cool, and like, I know you're gonna die on the cross for us, so like, forgive my sins and stuff."
"Probably, I think you'd be the best king in the world."
"We love you, Jesus. We're so glad that you came to the earth."
I don't know whether your mental images of the nativity scene or anything like the children have described or recalled it. Lindsay Cullen, who was going to be preaching here this morning until he started to cough and sneeze yesterday, sent through this picture to illustrate his message. I'm not sure... Is it up there? Yes, great. I'm not sure what theme he was going to highlight in his message, but that slide captures something, a different side of the Christmas message, something of the pain and the uncertainty that would have been a part of the birth of Jesus. Because that's the paradox of the first Christmas. It wasn't all laughter and happiness, but it did embody peace. Jesus didn't come to this world to wave a magic wand and banish pain and suffering. The stable was a dirty place. It was surrounded by a crowded and preoccupied society that couldn't find room for a young woman to give birth in any comfort. Even when the baby, the Son of God, was in his place in the manger, the stable was still a smelly and dirty place, and Herod was somewhere still outside with his sword. But it was also a place of great peace. Carol has talked about King's death as being a peaceful, an experience of peace. That stable had that sense of peace. It was a place where an odd assortment of people, as the next slide shows, from very wealthy people to people who eked out a living using manual labour, people from different cultural backgrounds, all sorts of people had a place there. Each of them had overcome fear and challenges to be with Jesus. We have our own version of the Bethlehem stable in this church here, right now, where we also experience so much diversity. Like Bethlehem, Bondi Junction and our lives are also always touched by pain and suffering. A young life gets snuffed out in a bus accident just behind the church this week. COVID lurks in Westfield, specifically on Tuesday between 10 and 11:30. Christmas plans get scrubbed. We remain in the grip of physical or mental pain. Difficult family relationships don't suddenly get easier because it's Christmas. And even within the doors of this church, where we believe that God is with us as a daily experience, we are not immune to the discord that's in our community. We long for peace, for the harmony that we sense in the Nativity story. But we don't find it easy even to get alongside our fellow Christians at times. Why does that happen? We often hear in this church the need to move from a position of fear to a position of faith. When humans are threatened, we tend to do one of three things. We fight our attacker, or we flee away, or we freeze so we don't draw further attention to ourselves and we try and block out what's happening. All those responses are really appropriate if we're suddenly physically attacked, but they don't serve us well if we feel under emotional attack. Fighting back or running away or blocking things out are no solution to personal conflict. So why do we do those things? It's because we don't feel safe and secure within ourselves. When we're emotionally insecure, we're very quick to pick up messages that we're being judged or ignored by others. We all have a propensity to respond to emotional threat by fighting back or by running away or by being emotionally paralysed. Which one of those is your first instinct when someone upsets you? What's your standard response? Fighting? Arguing back? Fleeing? Freezing? Or perhaps more than one, depending on the situation? Which one's your response? And if you can't distinguish how you instinctively respond to emotional threat, the chances are that the people who are close to you will be able to tell you. Moving beyond our instinctive fear response can be really hard work, particularly for people who have not experienced emotional security as a child or have had their lack of worth reinforced so many times that they assume that there's a potential threat within each interaction they have. But it can be done. We can, all of us, train ourselves to recognise when we're responding emotionally to a situation that we find threatening and instead to make a decision to use our heads to consider constructive ways of approaching it. But a faith position requires us to take a further step, to act as if God is present and God is active in every person's life. That's what transforms the stable to a place of peace. That's what has the potential to transform this church to a place of peace. A place where there's acceptance and understanding that every person has a right to be here. That every person is welcome to express their devotion and their gifts to God in their own way, that every gift and every person has a gift to bring. A place where it's a given that no one should be ignored or judged as not worthy to be present. Peace comes in the moments where we accept that every person has a right to be a part of God's family and to accept that there is a reason why each of us have been brought here to this messy stable we call our church. Our job is not to judge or blame, but to look behind difficult behaviour that might irritate us or annoy us and see the deeper needs of the person who is upsetting us. It is only when our primary focus is on the hurts of others and not ourselves and our hurts that we can experience peace in this, our own little corner of the Bethlehem stable. Peace comes when we trust God cares for us and we focus on the needs of others. And as the words of our closing song make clear, Jesus comes to offer us a transplant, replacing our fearful responses, which can bring such discord into our community life, replacing that with God's Spirit to inspire our responses, accepting that offer and renewing it every day is the faith position. It opens up the way for us to experience peace in this messy, dirty stable of life. The song that we're about to sing, and we're going to get some lights as well so that at least we can move a little bit when we can't actually sing ourselves, makes some of those things really clear. In the last verse, the musicians are going to be singing for us, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today."